The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Hey, everybody, welcome in. You've got it right. It is the Speak Up Table. It's Tuesday, and we are continuing our November election series just for you. This is the final program before the election next week, and today we will meet and talk with challengers for Sandpoint City Council, Joe Tate and Joshua Torres. You know, many of you have followed my programming thus far, and I thank you for that. Previously, we've covered Pondre's local option 1% tax. We talked with the mayor of Sandpoint on the wastewater treatment facility bond issue, Northside Fire District levy. And you know, if you missed any of these things and you want to catch up on a lot of the details that we can get to on this programming, you can go to our website at northidahoradio.com and you can catch all of those recordings. As a matter of fact, you can catch any of my recordings. You can go back in history. And I don't know, put yourself to sleep or something, because they're all there. You know what? My name is Barbara, and this is your chance to hear an extended conversation with these candidates covering a variety of issues and topics. Okay, let's take our first break, do a little business. We'll be right back with what you need to know about Joshua Torres and Joe Tate.
Keep the heat in and the cold out this winter. Plus, protect your flooring and furniture from damaging UV rays with stylish and efficient window coverings from Pro-X Home Decor Center. Pro-X is now offering a full range of blinds, including Venetian, wood, faux wood, cellular, and pleated. Plus, save money on energy costs with honeycomb insulating fabrics. They also offer cordless or motorized lifts for those hard-to-reach windows. Stop in and get a free quote today. Pro-X Home Decor Center, your hometown everything store.
Ritz Transmission and Performance in Bonner's Ferry, now offering new services. Transmission repair to manual and automatic, U-joints, clutches, differentials, custom upgrades, transfer cases, and transmission services. Call for an appointment or just stop in. Your go-to mechanic in Bonner's Ferry for everything from oil changes to transmission repair. Get a free diagnostic at Ritz Transmission and Performance, 6878 Main Street in Bonner's Ferry.
Hey, Don Thomas here for Selkirk Glass and Cabinets. And you know, someone asked me the other day, is this really the place to go for my new cabinets? Boy, what an easy answer. And let me tell you why. The folks at Selkirk Glass and Cabinets has kept every type of customer in mind when they set up all their different cabinet lines. For instance, there's the KCD line, which is an entry-level, quick-ship product with a select number of finishes and options. Another brand you can count on? Showplace Cabinets. They offer the largest paint selection, including custom color and a reliable lead time. There's also Aristocraft, a cabinet line you can trust from your first house to your forever home. And for several years now, Selkirk Glass and Cabinets has been proud to carry Homecrest Cabinets with their flexible solutions and personalized touch. Finally, if you're dreaming of indulgent opulence exclusively designed for you, there is Omega, where the possibilities are endless. So feel free to come in and browse our beautiful showroom or call ahead for an appointment. Selkirk Glass and Cabinets, it is the place to go.
If you're one of the millions of Americans behind on your taxes, if you're afraid to open your mail because IRS collection letters could be coming, listen carefully. The IRS is cracking down, taking paychecks, freezing bank accounts, revoking passports. That's a fact. But here's what most people don't know. There are official tax relief programs designed to help struggling taxpayers. Programs that could save you thousands if you qualify. No one knows these programs better than the experts at Optima Tax Relief. Optima's award-winning team will fight to protect your paycheck, your passport, and your property. Their tax attorneys and licensed tax professionals will work tirelessly to get you the best deal possible with the IRS. Every day, penalties and interest keep piling up, so don't wait. Call Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-749-8188. 800-749-8188. 800-749-8188.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
News Talk 97.1.
Hey, everybody, welcome back in. Join me and say hello to one of the candidates is here. We've got Joshua Torres in the studio with me. And hey, is anybody out there listening? Do you know Joe Tate? Do you know where Joe Tate is? Joe, are you listening at 97.1? Come on in. It's time. We're on the radio. And anytime you arrive, come on into the studio and let's get started. All right. So, Joshua, again, thank you for being here. It's very nice to meet you, and I look forward to talking with you.
Hey, thank you so much. I'm so grateful for you having me on the show today.
Well, let's start with our audience getting to know you. Introduce yourself to our listeners.
My name is Joshua Michael Torres. I was born in Denver, Colorado. I've been a resident of Sandpoint, Idaho since 2017. So I've been here about 8 years. I guess, you know, my skill set coming from Colorado, I was in the technology staffing and solutions area where we worked on large technology projects and provided the technical staffing needs for those particular companies. So I've done anywhere from, I started as a recruiter and then I moved into sales. And then I helped start a couple of companies, and then I ended up starting my own called Climb On Tech Solutions. So very entrepreneur.
Called what?
Oh, Climb On Tech Solutions.
Climb On, like climb on the pony?
So like if you're a rock climber, you say climb on. So I'm a rock climber, so being in Colorado, that really worked well. And we did construction staffing and technology staffing from there. But because of like my connection, like just being an entrepreneur and being a business owner, I'm an avid fly fisherman, and so that's how I got connected with the Colorado Wildlife Federation. I made a speech for the Arkansas River because they were trying to make it a national location and monument. And there was about 1,000 people. That was kind of one of my first big speeches. The senators were there, and I got up and spoke on why I love that river. I'm a river raft guy, not guide guy. I like rafting in rivers, and I like fly fishing on the rivers. And the Arkansas River is really where I broke my teeth. It's just such a beautiful place. I caught some of the biggest fish there, and I've rafted some of the most awesome rafts at those times, or rapids at those times. So I kind of got into the Wildlife Federation from that, and then they started asking me to get involved more, and they asked me to be on the board, and I just stepped off the board in 2024.
Is that the Colorado
Wildlife Federation
arm of it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then so what happened was, because my ability to step up and sound right, you know, be able to speak up on what we represented was hunters, anglers, birders, and hikers. They'd asked me to go out to DC and lobby with the National Wildlife Federation representing Colorado. So we had about 4,000 hunters, anglers, and birders that were supported through the Colorado Wildlife Federation. So I would go in and meet up with the folks, the senators, and sit down and say, hey, my name is Joshua. You know, this is who I represent. This is why we want the Farm Bill to pass, or the Greener Fuels Act to pass. So I really got involved in government because of conservation. Being a fly fisherman, I really understand that conservation is a big piece of what is important for us to continue to have the beautiful rivers that we love, or being able to hunt in the land that we love. Just all that's connected with hunting. I just fell in love with it because I grew up fishing with my dad as a little boy, and then because I connected with these guys, I got into bird hunting. And everything along those lines. And I moved up here to raise my daughter. My daughter's mom is from here, and we weren't able to, like, basically my child was going back and forth, and so I decided that it would be best if I moved up here and to make sure I got my 50-50 for that matter, and ensure that my child was 50% of my life as just as well as mom. And so,
Back quickly to your tech skills, you moved on to sales. Were you in a tech company doing administrative, like staffing and hiring and sales, or were you in a tech company doing programming and actually doing the technology?
No, specifically, so my technology skills were teching out the techies. I talked to all the technology guys. I met with them. I ensured that they fit within the environment of the organization, made sure that they knew all the technical skills that were necessary, and then we got them into the organization.
And they were your skills also is what I'm trying to
establish. No, I could not be a telecoms communications technician or
a
.NET developer.
You were in more the management end of it.
Absolutely.
All right. Another quick comment about your wildlife involvement. It's interesting to me because the Wildlife Federation is a very much a conservation, at least when I, the last time I looked, very conservation, and yet you are a participant. So I like that because that's both sides. I mean, it's one thing to protect the trees and the birds and the ducks, but it's another thing to know that duck hunters and hunters and even timber people many times are the most knowledgeable and the most careful of their environment because it continues. They need it to continue on.
Yeah, and I'm a big proponent. I also have like a side company where we teach young kids, like inner city kids, how to hunt and fish in the outdoors. Because my belief is truly that if we can teach somebody at a young age at a great spot to fish, right, that person's going to end up standing up for that river or for that mountain or for what have you, 10 years down the road when they see that, you know, construction's coming into that area.
Yeah, they want to sustain it so they can continue to enjoy it. And so they have a very vested interest in making it clean and pure and beautiful, and those fish keep spawning.
Absolutely. And then once you really understand, like, wildlife management, you really kind of get a grasp of, like, how the ecosystem works within it, like, and just, like, how important, you know, fish and game are to the ecosystem of hunting and angling and just all the things, because we all work together in conjunction to make sure that there is plenty of meat out there or plenty of fish out there for everybody. But if we're not protecting that and we're not supporting the people that are out there doing it, then we're causing, you know, we're starving ourselves.
All right. Well, let's get into some of the issues. The first one's on everybody's mind because everybody's talking about is the wastewater treatment facility bond. Would you, as the city councilman, have voted to move forward with this $130 million bond?
Yes. And the reason why is I feel like this has been pushed down the road for far too long, and somebody needs to take a stand, a step up for it and for our community. And I would have liked to have been that person that took a stand for it. But, you know, if elected, I will be the person that will help guide and be the transparent arm to ensure that that is focused on and managed correctly, for sure.
Okay, so it's good for our water. Are there other reasons that you would have voted yes?
I mean,
I'm not looking for anything in particular, just to see if there was something else beyond the cleanliness thing.
You know, I mean, from the reality is, it really is, and it's an environmental issue. It's some of those things that we're talking about from the river, the lakes, and stuff like that. And all of that stuff is near and dear to my heart. So, yeah, I mean, it would be kind of along those lines that my
it's
heart.
Kind of like everything is related and everything works together, right?
It's all one big, you know, organism.
It's all one big God-ordained thing.
Absolutely.
I like it. All right, so wastewater treatment facility bond. I know a lot of people are concerned about the money, but after talking with Jeremy Grimm a couple of times, and also there's been a lot of really good communication from the city, a lot of really good coverage and meetings.
Agreed.
Is that if the bond can pass, Joshua, then that put that positions the city in a really good position to go for additional money, either Fed, state, or even private foundations get excited if the people of the community are backing this.
Yes, and kind of what I've gathered is I think we have like one grant administrator, you know, working for the city, but like it sounds to me like if we really want to attack this and ensure that we are going to get all the grants necessary, we would need at least two of those folks just consistently just going after every single thing that we can and ensuring that to the community that we are working as hard as we can to get those extra grants because they're out there, but we just have to work to get them, and it sounds like it's not a one person job. So,
okay. Well, maybe some of our city councilors could
learn how to start writing grants.
Learn
absolutely.
How to at least do the research to save us a little money.
Sure.
Okay. Let's go back to your political approach. Why are you running for city council?
You know, I've just been really engaged in the community since I've got here. Raising my daughter from Farm and Stidwell all the way to the high school, I've worked, I usually work multiple jobs consistently in this town, and Schweitzer is the community that really kind of helped me. But what I've recognized in this
town.
What
do you do at Schweitzer?
Now I'm the nighttime ski tech. So you come in.
What does that mean?
So come on in, and we'll get your skis set up, we'll get your boots set up, we'll get you set up, and we'll get you out there on the mountain. I've worked guest services up there for 5 years. I work ski and ride. But this is a community of folks that live in this town here, right? And then plus I've worked other jobs while I'm doing that job. And so what I recognize is a lot of this community is working for the resort town, right? We're always working for other people to come into our town to enjoy it. And we don't really have time for politics or a voice or any of that. We just are trying to get through the holidays. We're trying to put food on the tables. We're trying to raise our kids. We don't sometimes even have time to think about what's going on with politics or voting. And I'm really wanting to represent those people that are multiple jobs, raising those kids. I'm a single dad. And we all have problems, and we're all trying to put food on the table. And the reason why I'm running is I want to be able to speak up for those folks, because I know that a lot of us folks don't have time for it. And that's my goal.
You've been encouraged to run. I think you mentioned that, you know, by the people that are like you, that are raising a daughter or raising a family, and they have multiple jobs and they're pressed for time. So they need somebody to really get into the politics and help them, these other people. Who is funding you, and or what organizations are funding your campaign?
His name is Joshua Michael Torres, and
you are self-funded.
I am self-funded,
100%.
100%. I got like $20, like $50 in checks from just a couple of community members here, but nothing like special. Like, I mean, well, it was super special to me, but like, I mean, I'm not doing like, there's like a $500 requirement that you have to like talk about, and like I barely even touched that. So it's all my two jobs are basically paying for this particular run.
All right, so that's why yard signs or brochures and all that fancy expensive stuff isn't happening.
I've got some yard signs. Some. I've got some, but you know what I've engaged in is engaging with the community and knocking on doors. I've printed over 1,000 copies of what a picture of me and my daughter and kind of my views. And man, I've almost hit this whole town, but I mean, it is a lot bigger than I anticipated. So I've got a couple more days to keep hitting some spots, but I really felt like that's going to, what I was told is if you knock on doors, you're going to have a good shot.
Hey, the secret is out today on Speak Up North Idaho. Door knocking works. I don't know what it is. You can talk to somebody who's completely something on the other side, and something about meeting the person personally, knocking on their door and smiling.
Even leaving just a document
or
at their door,
something.
They're like, you know what? That guy showed up.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I agree. It really does work. So, yeah, because I went to sunshine.gov or whatever it is, sunshine.com. I think that's it. To find out, it's where you can get, where people have to register if they get campaign contributions. And so I went looking for you, and it showed zero. Or it was no report. They were a little bit mystic about whether it was actually zero or you just hadn't reported yet, and that's why I'm questioning.
Yeah, I was told that you didn't have to. Maybe I got to pay attention more, but I was
no,
told
no. They okay. Just it was zero.
Okay. Yeah.
Cool. All right. So I have another question, but we're kind of getting up against our first break, and so let me ask you the question. I'll let you think about it on the break. Recently, several members of the Sandpoint City Council walked out, and it was at the beginning of the meeting, and it was over an issue about the city attorney, and the contract wasn't clear, and it seemed to appear, at least to the mayor's reading and a couple of people, that they actually didn't, because it had expired, we didn't have a city attorney, and the council walked out. So my question to you, I just find this very interesting, and I'm interested in what you think, if you're familiar with what happened. Would you, if you had been a city council, would you have walked out with those that did? I think there were three that did, or would you have stayed in the council room? So you can think about that.
Okay.
And tell us when you come, when we get back from our break.
Well, fall is in the air, isn't it? For many of us, it's our favorite time of year. Don Thomas here for Sandpoint Furniture, and as evenings come earlier and earlier, there's that chill in the air. There's no better time to cozy up in a new Lazy Boy or save on many other pieces to get ready for those family movie nights and Sunday sports. Maybe it's as simple as new lamps to light up the room or an area rug to soften up that hardwood floor. If it's a good night's sleep you're after, we stock over 300 mattresses to choose from. So make that drive to Sandpoint Furniture.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as a dollar a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at ethos.com/music. That's ethos.com/music.
If you're one of the millions of Americans behind on your taxes, if you're afraid to open your mail because IRS collection letters could be coming, listen carefully. The IRS is cracking down, taking paychecks, freezing bank accounts, revoking passports. That's a fact. But here's what most people don't know. There are official tax relief programs designed to help struggling taxpayers. Programs that could save you thousands if you qualify. No one knows these programs better than the experts at Optima Tax Relief. Optima's award-winning team will fight to protect your paycheck, your passport, and your property. Their tax attorneys and licensed tax professionals will work tirelessly to get you the best deal possible with the IRS. Every day, penalties and interest keep piling up, so don't wait. Call Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-749-8188. 800-749-8188. 800-749-8188.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Game day isn't complete without repping your team. Whether you're in the stands, at home, or tailgating with friends, NFLShop.com has the gear every fan needs. Jerseys, hats, hoodies, and sideline styles straight from the pros to you. Fresh arrivals drop all season long, so you'll always stay game day ready. Fan like a pro. And shop now at NFLShop.com.
While retinitis pigmentosa takes Mark's vision, his family gives him hope, whether at the family business or at home with his wife and sons. He knows he's not fighting alone. For 50 years, the Foundation Fighting Blindness has funded research into treatments and cures for blinding retinal diseases, providing hope to people with vision loss. And for Mark, winning the fight means being there for his family. The Foundation Fighting Blindness. Together, we're winning. Help us end blinding diseases at fightingblindness.org.
News Talk 97.1.
Hey everybody, welcome back in. We've got it going on here with Joshua Torres. He is running, he is on your ballot. Voters of Sandpoint to fill one of the three open positions for Sandpoint City Council. Unfortunately, the other candidate, Joe Tate, I'm not sure what happened. I just checked my text to him, and I hope that he's okay, and I hope there's no really serious reason that he's unable to be with us. And Joe, if you're out there, it's not too late. We have plenty of time left, so come on down. All right, so my question, Joshua Torres, before we went on break, was about the city council members that walked out over issues with the city attorney contract, and was it still valid, and was that city attorney still a city attorney? In that situation, what would you have done? What are your thoughts?
From what I kind of gathered, there was nothing wrong with the city attorney himself or whatever, like the choice was just fine, been an excellent attribute to the city itself. But it was more of a procedural thing that I've kind of gathered. And like being on boards of, you know, the Pondere Economic Partnership and the Colorado Wildlife Federation, there's rules that you have to follow and procedures and process and procedures, and if you don't follow those, then you can't move forward. At least from what I gather, I think that there was a process where it needed to be followed in order to move forward, and that hadn't taken place. Therefore, the meeting was kind of not necessarily needed, couldn't move forward in the eyes of those three individuals because they didn't take the steps in order to get it to move forward. So I would have probably walked with them, just because why waste your time if you're talking to air, I guess.
All right. I do think it was a regular city council meeting. But all right. So you would have walked out of the meeting.
I believe so.
All right. one of the areas that I'm telling you, you must have heard this every place you were, either a forum or door knocking, people are concerned about money. And you've even mentioned it, multiple jobs, people that are trying to feed their family. Sure. And so more than anything, people want our elected officials to be very conservative with the money and how it gets spent, how much gets spent, and to not just say, well, we need this, let's go get it. And so do you consider yourself to be fiscally conservative? How can you explain that you are? I mean, what specifically, as a political person, makes you fiscally conservative? What are your ideas to save us money or spend less money or be conservative?
I think the true reality is lifting up the hood and seeing where the current spend is at right now, and ensure that fiscally conservative approach is handled from the get-go, as opposed to looking forward. We need to look at immediate and see where we're overspending, because if I've got a fiscally conservative person managing it at the moment, and I can go in there and be even more and reevaluate it, right? I think that we got to start with that process first, because maybe one fiscally conservative person is more fiscally conservative than the other. But
I guess I'm surprised that you have not looked at the city budget already, looked under the hood, so to speak.
Like, looked under the hood, but there's a lot more information. I mean, it's a pretty big budget, and I've read through it, and what it all comes down to is we don't have any money. it's kind of what it breaks down to. So I don't know. I mean, it's a question of whether or not I see the growth coming into the community, and I feel like when we're talking about the growth coming in, I feel like that's where a lot of that money needs to come in from, in trying to get the money that we haven't been getting already from other folks that are coming in. I feel like somebody told me in this town, that the billionaires are buying out the millionaires in this town. And, that kind of made me sick to my stomach, because understanding that I am from Colorado and I have seen ski towns blow up extremely fast and rapid. And, to see that this town could also have that potential to do that does not make me very happy, because what's so special about this town is its uniqueness and smallness. But once you start bringing in those mindsets of, hey, we can get this town up to a whole another level, people don't want that. They want this town to kind of stay where it is. So when we're talking about bringing money in, we're talking about those people that we want to get that money to start building this community in a way that's going to be smart for us, whether it's our roads, parking, and just all the things that us locals benefit from, our water treatment plant, right?
Yeah. I think that what you're talking about, like ski towns for some reason have been vulnerable to this, called the veil effect. You know, big money comes in, the people who are the waitresses and the barbers and even the nurses can't afford to live in that area. They have to move out and then commute in to be the worker bees and to be the teachers. And also those billionaires. See if you agree with this, Joshua. The billionaires fly in and out. I mean, you know, we're one of their homes. And they don't really do the food drive thing. They don't really go to the Boy Scout meeting fundraiser deals. They just want to, I don't know. I don't want to say what they do here in Sandpoint like that's bad. It's kind of what they don't get involved in because they don't really live here.
Yeah.
Does that kind of describe what we're concerned, what you're concerned about?
Yeah, I mean, like you think about Aspen, right? They have their own personal airport and they bring in these monster planes. And one of my friends used to watch a house up there. And the guy was like the owner of one of the hotels in the biggest in the U.S. And he's like, I have a guy that flies his dog food from California to Aspen. And that's the type of...
That's called not buying locally.
Exactly. Exactly. But that's the mindset, because it's a convenience lifestyle. I've taken flying lessons at the airport, and I absolutely love it. I think it's such a valuable asset that we have in the community, especially for the young kids to start learning how to be pilots. I really believe in that. But when you start seeing some of these really, really nice airplanes coming in, and you know that they're coming in, maybe signing some contracts for land or something that we're not aware of, and then like, yeah, I'm here coaching these kids, trying to keep this community a place and safe in place for the children, but you know, and they're selling that to their people out there. Oh, I got a safe community for you to come in. And it's because it's on my back of me making it safe, right?
Well, we can't keep people out, but we can help define what we want and hopefully what they want too. So that brings me right to the next topic. And I think this is where you're going to really be able to expand for our audience. What are your top issues? What are your solutions? You've talked about growth. You just mentioned growth. How do you propose to, you know, manage it in a way that the developers do catch the vision of Sandpoint, or they pay fees or whatever, or other priorities that you would make as a city council person?
Highly support the impact fees with regards to, you know, just they're coming. This town is ripe for, I mean, if from my perspective, it's got the lake, it's got the ski resort, it's got everything. So we need to be prepared to evaluate how we want them to come in and how that's going to help us as a community, really. Because as Alterra is getting bigger and Schweitzer, that is the veil effect, and that veil effect is here when Alterra is a part of it. And I work up there, but I mean they are moving in a way that big ski resorts move, and we're seeing it and pretty quickly. So, just making sure that, you know, like, gosh, I mean, it's anywhere from just even the food banks having enough food in this town for some of us, because I've had to, go to the food banks occasionally too, just for support in this town, because it's expensive, and it's sad it's sad because we're just trying to get through, and to add more. You know, pain is, things are getting more expensive.
Parking in, I'm thinking particularly of the downtown Sandpoint corridors. What about parking? What do you think about that?
So we discussed, I'm a part of the downtown business district community, and, we all met with Jason Welker and the mayor, and we discussed, you know, the parking meters. The community was, you know, not very interested in that. And then, kind of that solution came from was, you know, well, let's do enforcement if we want to get money immediately into the city. Enforcement's going to be that, you know, be that way to do that. The question is, do we have enough manpower in order to get those tickets out to the people? And then are the business owners communicating with their employees enough, like, hey, you got to park in this particular spot, don't park, you know, right in front of our business area?
What about the parking decals, where there'll be an annual charge to park at City Beach for different groups, you know, city residents, county residents, visitors, and downtown?
I see it coming, whether I like it or not. That does take away from our touch from the community of just, you know, us being, but at the same time, any place that's beautiful anymore in this day and age is charging. And I feel like we might have one of the last remaining free places to drop a boat into the water, and park and some place, you know, and just really appreciate our areas for free. And I don't know if enough locals even get a chance to do that, unfortunately, because we do have folks coming in from out of the areas taking advantage of those free accommodations. So I see it coming, and I'm hoping that we can make it to where it's extremely affordable for every single local in the community to have something to where they just walk in and like, yeah, this is our town, this is my sticker, and I belong here, and blah, 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 because they're going to keep coming, and we're going to just run out of parking, and we can't stop it.
Well, the last estimate I saw from Jason and Jeremy, or Jason Welker, who's planning, and what's the other title on his? Right. He's got a couple of different titles. Anyway, Jason and Jeremy Grimm, mayor of Sandpoint, was $15 a year for a Sandpoint resident. So I don't know who thinks that's going to break the bank. I don't want to be flip about it, but if you're a Sandpoint resident, you're already paying for City Beach. So to be charged $15 a year for really like 6 hours of parking a day is, I would gladly pay that. I would very definitely gladly pay that. It's a privilege that I would get that kind of a sticker, and $15 a year I think is doable.
Especially, you know, like when you're, you know, you go every summer and you can't park it, like, and you just want to put your paddleboard there.
Yeah, so it would, you know, it would just kind of help defray the costs and give a little bit of local, a nod to the locals. Another one about that I'm interested in your opinion, and this is like a recent discussion at the city council, that has open container laws where, you know, pretty much for the City Beach area, no one can bring alcohol in and events, but there are a few events that are favorites.
Sure.
And so they're considering, they haven't decided yet. The council hasn't decided yet. What's your opinion? Of course, we were talking about the Chafe race. Would you think that they are used to having beer at the end of the race? What do you think?
Totally. It's a ritualistic, it's a community, it's a lifestyle.
Drink it up.
Well, especially for how far they go. I mean, there's nothing cooler than having a cold beer and looking at your fellow bro and be like, right on. And I mean, that comes from, you know, anywhere from, I've run a half marathon and I had a cold one after that. And downhill mountain bikers.
I'm going to have you back on for a health show.
Well,
I don't know. I just can't put together drinking beer and running a marathon. But anyway,
I am
accepting it.
No, I totally. And I'm like, I'm all for it. I think that they've had a very successful race year after year. They've been really responsible.
Very safe.
Yeah, and I think this. I'm really stoked that the city is coming up with a solution for them. I was pouring beer for the beer festival this summer here, and I thought it was the coolest. Like, I got the coolest picture of me, like, right off the lake, holding a beer right in front of McDuff's. Like, it was like, man, this is probably the coolest place to drink a beer. And it's our town.
All right. With that, we're going to take that last break. We're going to do that right now. But when that's done, we're going to have more information with Joshua Torres.
The Hydra on 2nd and Lake is Sandpoint's original steakhouse. Stop in today for lunch or dinner.
Offering any local business pre-ordered lunches. Place by 5 p.m. the day before and pick up the next day between 11:15 a.m. and 2 p.m. Monday through Friday. 10% off orders of 8 or more. Place your order, pick up the next day, all prepared and ready to go.
Come on back to the Hydra for lunch or dinner today. The Hydra, 2nd and Lake in Sandpoint.
Why choose Kroc Coatings for your concrete?
Our neighbor had Kroc Coatings come up and do their driveway. And so I watched theirs for a year or two, and it looked fantastic. And I got a hold of Kylie at Kroc Coatings, and she was fantastic. Everything went perfectly. It went exactly as she said it would. The coating that Kroc put on solved all the problems. Not only would I recommend Kroc Coatings, but I have.
One thing people don't realize is our product actually makes a chemical bond with the concrete. Most of our competitors and other products you have to annually maintain. Because those products sit on top, or they evaporate, or they wear off, or they pressure wash off, ours does not do any of that. So ours is making a chemical bond with the concrete, comes one with the concrete. It's not going anywhere.
Upgrade your garage, patio, or basement today with a new Kroc floor. Go to croccoatings.com/radio. That's croccoatings.com/radio.
For those of you who aren't quite sure what the Co-op Gas and Supply Company carries, here you go. We've got gas cans and safety products for your car and your boat, casters for tables, clear plastic, and packages of rope, driveway reflectors, safety masks, caution tape rolls, plumbing supplies for indoor and outdoor controls. In the warehouse, we have things like hydrants and large tarps, rolled fencing, energy logs, puller sleds, and pull carts, pressure vests to help your dog remain calm, milk replacers, flex wrap, bandages, and bag balm. We've got camp lanterns, camp stoves, and survival supplies, water carriers, wool blend socks, and rain gear to stay dry. And we fill small propane tanks. We thought you might like to know. Come see us. The Co-op Gas and Supply Company, 125 Tibbetts Lane in Ponderay, 208-263-6820.
Bulldogs fans, are you ready? Just like your team brings the speed on the field, Ziply Fiber brings the speed at home. With fiber internet up to 50 gig right here in Sandpoint. No contracts, no hassles. Just fast, reliable fiber internet that lets you stream every highlight without buffering. Plans start at just $20 per month. So whatever play you're running at home, streaming, gaming, or cheering on the Bulldogs, do it with Ziply Fiber. Visit ziplyfiber.com to get started.
News Talk 97.1.
Hey, everybody, welcome back in. We do have it going on today with Joshua Torres. Joshua will be on for you Sandpoint voters. He will be on your ballot for Sandpoint City Council next Tuesday. And also Joe Tate. Again, unfortunately, Joe was unable to be with us. I am sorry about that. I don't know what happened, and I just hope that Joe is okay. So we're talking about priorities, Joshua, and some of the things that as a city council person you have ideas on and that you want to support. So one of my questions has to do with public information meetings, transparency. Personally, I think the city is very transparent. They get the information out, but you would like to see more and better of that. What will that look like?
I think they're starting to do pretty well with their social media communications. I do follow them. I just started following them maybe about 6 months ago, and I think that's been very, very helpful. I don't know if there's a rule about like individual city council members having their own social media and being able to kind of speak out. But I do have mine, and if I am able, like that's really my plan is, being able to speak out on that. And so
as long as there isn't a quorum, I can have city councilmen and the mayor and they say,
okay, yeah,
what they are in favor of.
I was meeting over with Aaron over at the Port Authority last night, and a bunch of other folks sitting at the bar. But I was giving a sign. But we were talking about how a lot of the community members at that bar are genuinely interested in talking about politics, and they asked if I would be interested in having those types of conversations there. And I said, well, I guess if you buy me a non-alcoholic beer, then I will be ready to go.
It can be an alcoholic beer. I didn't mean to.
No, you're good.
All right. So just continue. Yeah, I agree that council member, county commissioners, one-on-one need to go where the people are and engage.
Yes.
Whether it's a restaurant or a city beach or whatever, just hang out and put out their shingle and say, talk to me.
Well, and it's cool.
It's what Charlie Kirk did. He said, here, this is what I believe.
Yeah.
Tell me I'm wrong. You know?
Well, and for me, I feel like because I'm so engaged with the city itself, like with the downtown events, like we did the motorcycle event, we've done the Apple Festival, we've got the Trick or Treat Festival. Because I work with Vive, we are a member of that downtown business group. And what happens is I like to volunteer. That's a part of my heart and soul is volunteering. So I always get involved in whatever I can, whether it's through them or the chamber. So I'm always a part of this community, and you can always come up and talk to me. I'm a pretty easygoing guy.
Also, you mentioned on the commercial break about the James Russell Sports Center over at Traverse Park, and there is movement there. There are ideas there. What are some of the things that you support with regard to that building?
I just want the Russell Center really buzzing with low cost recreational activities. I think that it's such an asset now that we have it here. it is an asset to our community. Therefore, it is our requirement to make use of it as best as we can. And I know some of the soccer folks have talked to them, and there was, you know, some cost things or whatever. But if we can come up to a solution to where, you know, whether it's basketball, soccer, you know, tennis, I'm you know, as an outdoorsman, you know, I'm down for, you know, doing fly fishing lessons in there, you know, indoor archery, things of that nature, to where we can genuinely, because this town is not warm all the time. And so being able to have a place for a warm place for the kids to go to, because I know they have the Bonner County indoor soccer place, and they have a heater in there, and it's warm, but man, I think that Russell Center is probably a little bit more updated and pretty toasty. And so yeah, just getting more buzz around that. I think it's such an opportunity for us as a community to come together to make recreation be large in this town.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's there, and that it can be used. I don't know that I want it to be free. I like your phrase low cost, because I don't want, as a city voter, a city taxpayer, to pay for that. I don't want to pay for that. I want that to pay for itself. And so, do you agree or disagree with that?
Say it again.
That as a taxpayer, I don't want my taxpayer to go to support the Russell Building or its activities. I want it to be self-sustaining. Cool.
And it can be, I think, if we really, it's just like the YMCA across the street. And I don't even know if there's a way that there can be a partnership between those two, because, gosh, man, I go to the YMCA, and they are great. They do work with people that have a low cost, like low income situations. And like, we can emulate that, or maybe partner with them of some sort and say, hey, you know, send some kids over here to do an activity, because they do have the numbers on that side too. So I don't know. I'd be really excited to get to roll my sleeves up and talk to some folks and say, what can we do with this opportunity, is how I look at it.
I know there's been some discussions about having the flooring, the covering for it, so fundraisers can come in, and tables and catering and dinners and special events can happen there that are not athletic. And I think that also is a great idea. You know what? I get the last word on that. I can't believe the way that works out. Anyway, your last word is coming right now. Please say goodbye to our audience, and just tell them kind of what you want to say.
Sandpoint, I am super grateful for just this town being who it is. I've been here raising my child, and it's just been a great pleasure to be a part of this community. And all I want to do is really speak up and support, you know, what the locals want. And because I know what's to come if we as a local community don't stand up against what you know, large ski towns have done to in the world. So give me a shot. I will stand up for you. And I look forward to meeting every one of you guys out there on the streets.
And your name again?
So Joshua Michael Torres. And on the ballot, it is Torres Joshua, because a lot of people like to call me Torres.
And you want them to vote for you.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Thank you so much for that. Hey, everybody, thanks for being with us today. And again, my apologies about Joe Tate, but I'll let you know what happened. That is our program for today. Next week, right here with me, honoring our veterans, all veterans, those who have retired, those who are currently serving. Tom Lindley is our Bonner County Veteran Services Officer. He'll be here with me. And again, always, you know it, every week I'm all about America 250, celebrating the incredible foundation of our country, so unique, so successful, so strong. And I love quotes from our founding fathers, our founding leaders. And this week, we're going to listen to what Benjamin Franklin had to say. He said, quote, "I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs the affairs of men." Close quote. Can I get an amen on that? So until next Tuesday, this is Barbara reminding us all to slow down on the roads, to love each other, and God bless America.